For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restoring the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. Well, hello, and our toll-free number to call in today is 844-320-4299. And yes, we'll actually be here if you want to call. And actually, yes, I am going to have a special guest, and it's going to be a live guest, unopposed to dead guests. I usually don't do those. And in addition, that live guest will be a current councilman who is running for re-election. And so if you cannot listen to this show, or the entirety of this show, then you'll definitely want to listen to the rebroadcasting this Saturday. And I believe it is before the Whitworth football game. I'm just getting schooled here. Yes, it will be at 11 o'clock on Saturday. So you can listen and enjoy the banter that you will hear today if you don't hear it. And moving forward, again, all of the things that I cover, and actually I'm going to get into some stuff today that I've already kind of covered, so I'm not going to redo any of that, but to understand when I use terms and understand how all of this stuff plays together and how it meshes, you need to listen to the podcast. So go down to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and click on the podcast link, and then you can actually download all the podcasts. That way you can stay abreast and understand exactly what I'm saying. Now, in local announcements, Councilman Ed Pace of Spokane Valley will be hosting his following town hall meetings, as he does each week. And Wednesdays, it is 9 a.m. at McDonald's on University and Sprague. Friday, it's 9 a.m. at Forza Coffee on Sullivan and 4th. And Saturday, it's 8 a.m. at Rosar's on University and Sprague. The Republican Coffee Club, the locations of this, by the way, is on my other links, and as well as I believe it's on my podcast as well, but it is on the other links, so it's with all my other detailed information on the Reclaiming the Republic side, our site. And David Bolenius from Avista will be speaking about becoming Hydro One and what that's going to mean to you if you want to get some inside gouge. Rob Chase really puts on a pretty good show there, and he really puts on and brings in a lot of relevant people to provide relevant information. So you want to be able to start going to this. The donuts are nothing spectacular. It's not like they're the highfalutin type of donuts, but they're still worth a buck. And what you get and the networking and the camaraderie and so forth, it's just worth going. Next week, it'll be me, and I'll be answering your questions regarding Republic Review, and that is at 7 o'clock at the No Lie Brew House. And anyway, the details are, again, on my website. This is an important election. I've been saying this since the very beginning of my airing, and I've been going on and on about the progressives and what they've been doing. And so I can't emphasize enough that we need to start turning the tide, and we need to start improving conservative people who love their liberties. You don't even have to be conservative, because I believe blue-collar Democrats love the Constitution, and they don't like what's going on with Antifa, and they're not going to go out there and, you know, kneel for the anthem and so forth. They're not a part of that progressive movement. And I think that they've been completely disenfranchised by this secular progressive movement and the communists that have taken over the Democratic Party. So I just want you to understand that we need to make sure that we get the turnout. So the ballots are going to be dropping this week. You're going to be getting that ballot. Fill it out and go, unfortunately, I'm going to give you a list, and I'm actually going to put it on my website next week because I'm going to be talking to some of the candidates, and hopefully I can have some verbal conversations with another candidate that's supposed to be coming on the 1st. I'm trying to chase him down. I've not yet talked to him. We've only done emails. But anywho, I would like to have all of that so that I can basically give you who I'm endorsing. And that way, if you want to, just go down the ticket, Republican, Republican, Republican. Or if you find that it's a Republican Libertarian or Republican Constitutionalist, then you may need to do a little research because most of those two are, just competing and what are the nuances between them. But on the Democratic side, prefers Democrat, even if it's a nonpartisan, you need to understand that there are progressives that are opposing those who are in office. And some of those that are in office, especially in Spokane City, they're all progressives. And so the challengers, like Tim Benn, who was in last week, he is the one that is going to break what's going on the progressive side. And I think we can start sending signals to the socialist, communist, progressives that are, trying to entrench themselves within Spokane. I've been saying this several times as well, that we're on a fast track towards Detroit. We don't want that. I don't believe anybody wants to see this city become a entitlement city and actually get destroyed and become non-productive and drive business out and have people basically have to leave. I mean, look at what's going on in California. I don't know if it's at the millions yet, but there have been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people leaving because of the progressive agenda. And there's many people that have been very reluctant to leave there. And then there's some people that have kind of just done the basic analysis and go, you know what, there's just no way we can sustain our life here. One, for the cost, the way they're taxing, and just the direction of how they're protecting criminals and they're not protecting property and life and the things that they're supposed to protect. So anyway, this is a very important election. So I'm appealing to you. I am begging you. I am beseeching you to please, please fill out your election ballot as soon as you get, that opportunity cost thing. You pick that thing up because it's in the mail and you're sorting through it. Don't put it down. Just open it up, fill it out, and sign it and send it on its way. Because that way it doesn't get procrastinated and you get it done, because it's really important that this gets done, folks. Now, let me go into this next little rant. The socialist, communist, progressive, globalist leadership are getting desperate. And as aggressive as they possibly can, they are moving and strategizing and basically funding protests. And you've probably heard, you've heard about the resistance and the deplorables, or not the deplorables, my mistake. The Antifa. Well, you've seen the KKK, BLM, all of these things are leftist groups. The deplorables, that's not a leftist group. That was a label that a leftist threw out towards those people who love the Constitution and love liberty. That being said, that these leaders that are running the socialist party are the ones that are actually starting to throw money down this pike. And if you haven't heard, Soros just moved 80% of his assets, his cash, actually, not assets, his cash, into his foundation. I'll get into that later, but I'm just letting you know that they're recognizing that Spokane has a great opportunity for a return on investment by moving Antifa leaders and activists and so forth here. And I've heard this several times now, and as this starts to get exposed more, I'm going to give you the more of this information. I had a great opportunity of sitting down and talking with and being with Trevor Lawton over in Montana this past weekend. And so we talked about this movement and just how, like I said, they're getting desperate. They're getting as aggressive as they possibly can because they realize that they have they have to seize this opportunity or they're going to lose more ground than they're prepared to have to lose. You know, they've always been moving two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, but they've never truly given up ground. And with the Trump administration and the way things are going and the way things are being exposed, I am telling you that we're now in this position where we can get several steps back. And what Trump, some of the stuff that Trump's doing, because I've been reserved on speaking about Trump other than the fact that he has been undoing a lot of the progressive policies, and I'm loving this. I would love to see him start dismantling some of those executive departments, but the problem is that he's not going to do that because that's just and the antithesis of a politician and a bureaucrat. Anyway, so the progressives are starting to move and mobilize radicals into your neighborhood. And as a matter of fact, some of those are refugees. They're not just necessarily these radical leadership. And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit more because this is very important. And so we're going to go to a hard break. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back. And I'm going to talk about what's moving into your neighborhood and what's going to happen. Okay, so we're back, and I was just talking about these Antifa communist leaders coming in, and as a matter of fact, I'll get into some of the details so you can actually go watch some of these videos for yourself, but they are moving into the Spokane area, and they're at the beginning stages of networking and identifying good pockets to basically occupy and pulling in those who feel indifferent or I should say disenfranchised because they don't have a job, they're not going to get a job or whatever, and building the entitlement. This is all a part of the fundamental communist movement of resistance. And oh, by the way, this resistance is funded by, and you're going to think I'm going to say Soros and these leftists. Yes, the leadership and the orchestration and the acts are, but the fundamental resistance is being funded by you, the taxpayer. You are the problem. And actually, it's not really you the problem until you start realizing that this entitlement state that we've allowed to get created in the violation of the Constitution and a violation of our founding principles in creating this entitlement state, it allows people to just literally linger on welfare. And so what are they going to do all day when they're making money for nothing? Well, they're going to try to figure out how to make money that you won't know about so they can keep making money for nothing. And that's how people game the system. And the money that comes in for those who are willing to do more and do a little bit more by going up and showing up at protests and so forth. And you've probably already seen that SEIU and a lot of these unions and other activist groups pay $25 an hour for people to show up for a protest. So, you know, that seems like a lot of money, but okay, you're going to be up there for maybe 3-4 hours. So that's $100 for the day. And so those who become more active and more aggressive are the ones that get promoted up in the rank. It's a merit-based system, folks. The welfare is not. This progressive movement is a merit-based system. And so those who are motivated and willing to do more and more and more are going to be rewarded. And this is going to be happening here. Now, whether you like it or not, the only way we're going to be able to stop this is start basically vetting our candidates and making sure that they understand constitutional principles. They have to understand that we can no longer compromise by taking federal dollars for unconstitutional programs and so forth. We actually have to turn off the spigot and move away from it. This resistance is not a simple anti-Trump resistance. It is an anti-American, anti-Constitution resistance. And I just want you to know that, yes, George Soros is a major player and a funder. Like I said, he moved $18 billion or something like that of his cash into his Open Societies Foundation. This has just hit the news this week. And as a matter of fact, so what does that mean? Is that he's not giving so much money to his kids, or he's making a big power play because he sees with Brexit, with Trump and some of these other things that are panning out, that the conservatives are actually happening to win, that they need to be more aggressive and they need to start taking their desperate actions now. I just want you to understand that this isn't just Soros. This isn't just some Greek entrepreneur who's kind of been able to infiltrate and become a parasite within our nation. This is also being done with fellow Americans. And as a matter of fact, if you go on his website, and I'm going to try to provide this on my website, but if you just look for Partners of the Open Societies Foundation, that's his foundation he just moved money into, you'll find that the Ford Foundation is a partner with them. The Ford Foundation. Yeah. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. The Carnegie Corporation, the Lilly Endowment, the Rockefeller's Brothers Fund, and the Rockefeller Foundation, the Tides Foundation. American Civil Liberties are players for them. The Equal Justice Society is a player for them. International Bridges to Justice, Mayors. Here's another good one. And I'm only just getting a highlight here for you. The Mayor's Fund to Advance New York City is a player for them. Refugees International is a player, an Equal Justice Initiative of Alabama, and I believe you'll even find an Equal Justice Initiative for the United States. These are all players, and some of these kind of sound like they dovetail with what's going on in the NFL or the elitist sports leagues, as well as what's going on in mainstream media. So where's all this money coming from? You're going to the games. You're buying these products and sponsorships. And so all of these leftists, like I said last week, that have been preaching and basically claiming and trying to convince you that this is an evil nation. And I'm here to tell you that this is the greatest nation that has ever rose up since the history of mankind. The only nation that compared to this was Israel. And in lots of ways, the difference was that Israel was, you know, protected by our Lord, and basically, you know, went out into the wilderness and they changed their culture with 40 years of unabated access. It's not like they had the internet and mainstream media infiltrating them in an education system. So they took 40 years, and that's one of the reasons why they survived for the 3-4 centuries with a judgment process in not having kings and having judges, and lived pretty much righteously. And in America, this was done through American enlightenment and the inspiration of the Lord. And so you can't not inject some religion into this so that you understand. And when we get into Thanksgiving coming up, Thanksgiving is our most sacred holiday that this nation faces. And if you read George Washington's proclamation, I've been saying this several times now, go read it and you will understand that Thanksgiving is truly a day we are supposed to recognize the divine hand of providence, who has basically endowed us with this Constitution and our liberties, that we are supposed to take that day, set it aside, and recognize his hand in this government. That's what Thanksgiving is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about turkey and pilgrims and, you know, this abuse of Indians or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, the revisionists have basically inculcated us with. That's not the truth. Go read the truth. And it was at the hand of George Washington. Let me continue on. Like I might have mentioned before, I was with Trevor Lawton this weekend, and we were talking about the Antifas and how they're trying to spread communism. And so he has a new set of videos that's out on his YouTube channel and out on another channel. I've got the links to it on my webcast, or not on my webcast, on my podcast page and on my links page. So you can get to them either way. But the bottom line is you need to go watch these, because he's actually exposing the players. You can actually see the sign of who the leaders are, the trainers are. This is the SEIU. SEIU is buying some of these candidates that are in these races, folks. And if you don't understand who these players are, you need to, because it's coming here. It's not a matter of whether, when it's going to come here. It's already here. They're just now starting to get mobilized and getting injected. And the only way we're going to start defraying some of this is being able to elect the right constitutional candidates. And so I encourage you to look at who's backing who, and we'll be talking about some of this when it comes up, and we will probably get some of the candidates that might have some of that dollars coming in so that we can ask them, well, why are you taking that money? Do you realize what they're doing? Anyway, I also want you to know that the Libertarian Party leadership has discovered that they too have been infiltrated. And this is no real surprise, because I've been telling them that they were infiltrated by the anarchists. Those anarchists are actually turning out to be Antifa and communists. And so I know that I've told you time and time again that if you look at Platonism and what Plato did, and I dedicated a couple shows to this, what Plato basically did was he laid out the design or the plan of how to move a society in towards a godless society, that the state truly controlled everything. And Jonah Goldberg identified in his book Radical Liberalism for Fascists, and actually I'm running out of time. Bottom line is, the entertainment industry, mainstream media, and all these people, the elite sportists, they're all progressive cheerleaders for this religion of secularism. And when I come back, I will actually have our special guest in the studio with us, because he's here now. And so when we come back from the break, we will have him here. Thank you very much. Okay, so we are back, and I actually have Ed Pace from the Spokane Valley City Council here, and we are going to talk a little bit about the Constitution and the Republic Review. And he's actually been reading my book, but I don't necessarily want a book review from you yet until you've gotten all the way through maybe most of it. But before I actually ask Ed with his impressions, I've been pounding the desk and hounding you about how important this election is. During a presidential election, voter turnout is incredible here. This is a non-presidential election year, and the conservative vote during a presidential election is only 56%, and the socialist vote here is around 43%. And so all it takes is a little bit of people not turning out and getting the progressives to be mobilized and motivated, because they're hardcore activists, and most people are really driven by passionate issues, and that's why the presidential election is huge. So I want you to understand that because this is a non-election year, it is really, really critical that we start gaining ground during these types of elections, because there's too many seats in play. And so, Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And I'm sitting here with my ragged pocket edition, which I carry around in my right rear pocket all the time, of the Washington State Constitution and the Constitution of the United States of America, always mindful of the oath I took when I took office on the city council.
Okay. All right. Well, I want you to give me in your words what you thought of Republic Review. Now, you've read that executive summary that I provided you a while back.
I have. And I'm 100% behind it. I'm ready to sign the petition.
Okay.
I just think this is so important at all levels of government.
Right.
On the city council, we take an oath of office,
right,
which we changed since I've been on the council. We changed it to make it stronger. But we promise in our oath of office to uphold and defend the U.S. and Washington state constitutions. And the Washington state constitution says right in the beginning, in Article 1, Section 1, right after it says we the people and invokes our creator,
right,
it says in Article 1, Section 1, that, among other things, that governments are established to protect and maintain individual rights.
Correct.
And that's what this is all about to me. That's what it means to me.
Sure. And our Constitution actually not only was established to protect the individual rights, but it was also to protect the state's rights. That's one of the reasons why we have a bicameral legislative body in the Congress of the United States. And so The reason this is so important, and I can spell this out, because the web of unconstitutional government is so broad and so vast, it comes in so many ways. And so it's almost impossible, because we have now created a system that has taken money out of our pockets, gone to Washington, D.C., and the only way to get that money back for education, for energy, and all of these other things, for roads, is to basically allow them to come in and regulate us, and that's how they give us our money back.
Oh, yeah. We apply for grants. They're competitive grants, and they always have strings attached that our people, our constituents, our residents do not like.
Right. There's law enforcement money that comes in into both municipal law enforcement and as well as sheriff's departments and so forth. And that money is unconstitutional, whether it's for law enforcement, whether it's for education. Those enumerated powers were not granted to the federal government. So they shouldn't be taxing us. They shouldn't be laundering that money and then handing that money back. And so this sensitivity to this is a very difficult one, because city governments are expected to be able to function. However, some of that money is coming back to you that should never have gone away from us and gone to the federal government, but through their tyranny, they have taken that. And so I think it's the quagmire, and the dilemma is, how do we get out of the quagmire? And I think I've posed that in Republic Review.
Right. And I want to put this in terms of a city.
Sure.
A city of Spokane Valley, to be
sure.
Specific, because that's where I have my experience.
Right.
But there's two things here. The constitutions, U.S. and Washington State, start out with we the people.
Right.
It's not we the lawyers, not we the judges, not we the government, not we the bureaucrat, not we the experts, but we the people. And so not only does the Constitution say we the people, but that's where people live. Most people live in cities. And so that's where the power in government should be. And that's where the money should be. I remember 4 years ago when I was running for office for city council the first time, sitting in on city council meetings as a visitor, as a citizen out in
right.
the gallery. And I remember Arnie Woodard, who's our deputy mayor now, saying that we have to work hard to get away from, to wean ourselves from mama federal government's breast.
Right.
And
The teat.
Yeah. Get off mama's teat. And
right.
and bring everything locally. But the only way that's going to happen is for the federal government to lower taxes significantly
right.
so that more money stays locally, so that we can do that.
In addition to that, there are other programs, and I believe that Spokane Valley has already kind of taken the right step forward and saying, we don't want to be a sanctuary city.
Right.
And I believe that Spokane Valley has kind of drawn the line. Lawns are dying right now. Drawn the line regarding refugees.
Right. We have. Well, we are a nation of immigrants, but that's legal immigrants.
Legal immigrants.
My wife is a legal immigrant.
Correct.
Who became a U.S. citizen.
Right.
But we're talking about illegal immigrants.
Right.
We need to stop that. We need to honor our laws.
Right.
And there's other places that we're drawing the line as well.
Right. Now, some people try to assert, well, the federal government has the, and they do have the constitutional right to regulate and standardize the immigration system. However, the Constitution was never amended to give the federal government block grant access to bring in a body of people that did not follow the immigration process and basically bring them into what we call refugees. As noble and as nice as that is, and I know that there were people from Vietnam and other bad situations that were able to come in under a refugee program, that is unconstitutional.
It is. And so we're dealing with two types of unconstitutional
right.
people in the country, not legally. Right. One is the refugees.
Sure.
The other is just plain illegal immigrants who right. sneak in or stay past their visa.
Correct. So, and I want everybody to understand that when Ed read this Republic Review, he was one of the very first that kind of jumped on and says, I want to sign this petition. And as a matter of fact, I told Ed that I didn't have the petition ready because I've been working on so many other things. I have petitions ready, but being an author, I tend to be very long-winded. And so my original petitions were like 11 pages long.
And I said, let me sign it anyway. You know, I got to point out that another thing that some of us on the city council are trying to do now
okay.
is we're trying to draw a line in the sand on rights, property rights and parental rights.
Right. And so the federal government has no dog in the fight of parental rights. But I tell you, and if you read my second book, I actually start warning of, because in between my first book and my second book, I read It Takes a Village by Hillary. And you could read through the lines that she was laying the foundation for creating a Department of Babysitting.
Right.
And so parental rights are very, very important that the city, state, and federal government stays out of that. So tell me about this, because I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, this came up. Okay, I'm sponsoring an ordinance called a parental rights ordinance.
Right.
And it says something like, within the city limits of the city of Spokane Valley, no government entity, agency, municipal corporation, or anybody will undermine the authority over and responsibility for children of the parents.
Okay.
They will not undermine the parents. And of course, it's illegal to do that.
Right.
But this is a political saber-rattling move. And so we're working with our legislators and with others, other partners,
but there have
to try to work something out.
In one aspect, I know that there has been ground gained by progressives in establishing the authority of educators and being able to usurp parental rights.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. And we've had progressive and liberal parents come to, and these are intelligent, responsible parents, come to our city council meetings and tearfully speak against this proposed ordinance, implying that they think the government should have authority.
Interesting.
And there's people who actually think there are legitimate arguments for that.
Interesting. That is very, very interesting. So, as you can hear, we're coming up on a hard break, and so Ed can't hear it, but that's okay. I can hear it, and I want you to stay tuned. We'll be right back with Ed. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you. Okay, so we are back with Ed Pace, and he is here, and I don't want to consider defending parental rights. I just think it's a no-brainer. The parents have God-given rights, and the family, if you read my book, is the nucleus of society. They are the building blocks of every society, and as a matter of fact, Ludwig von Mises points out that there have been lots of societies that have tried to pervert the family, and every society that has done that has fallen. And as a matter of fact, there were societies that started out trying to pervert that, such as homosexual and or other types of societies, and they had failed because obviously they can't procreate, or they didn't have science and technology to kind of help them and bail them out. And it's just fascinating how we just keep on making these same mistakes. But anyway, Ed, please talk more about this no-brainer bill that you're doing.
Sure. Well,
and why are you taking heat on this?
We're taking heat on this partly from liberals who don't like the idea anyway. They buy into Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village to Raise a Child.
Right.
And my pushback is no, it does not take a village. It takes a mom and a dad sticking together and working together to raise a child. And it doesn't take special education. It doesn't take credentials. It takes a mama. It takes a mama who in whose womb that child has grown, and she knows the child intimately,
right,
from 9 months, and then she nurtures the child as a baby. She knows the best, no matter what.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's the fundamental part.
Right.
That's the ground of it. That's the natural ground of it. This is natural and biblical. And right. Of course, we know the Bible says that God put Adam and Eve together. He made them for each other. And he said, be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
And rule the earth.
Uh-huh.
And so that's putting families in charge.
So I've been railing about the secular church since this show started back in February. I had a guest, Mark Erbach, that he's Jewish, and he wrote a book called Believe, and he's promoting Christianity. And so we kind of have, you know, flocked and dovetailed together. And in his book, he asserts that the federal government removed God from society, from the education and so forth. And I understand that's a common paradigm, that the federal government has removed God. But I believe God was removed much earlier, during the 1800s, when we started allowing secularism to start creeping in and dictating, you know, who could witness in a court. Because as I pointed out to him, if you weren't Christian in good standing, you could not testify in court. And you'll get into that in my book when you get into the later subsequent chapter or sections. But the interesting thing that I'm asserting is that what ended up really happening with the separation between church and state and all of these rulings from the federal government were not removing God. They were enforcing secularism. In other words, they were going monotheistic into, you cannot have Christianity before secularism. Secularism is the only religion we will allow and recognize.
Yeah, and that indicates a confusion of pieces of things. So we get that pushback at the city level.
Right.
And I have people who desperately want to get me off of the city council because, A, I'm a pastor, and they don't think pastors belong in elected office. And B, I'm a Christian, and I invoke Christianity when I'm making arguments at times. And so do a couple of my other councilmen, seatmates on the council. But so what they're confusing is church and religion and God. And so God is the ruler of the universe. And they say, well, which God?
There's only one God. Yep.
There's only one God. And then they say, well, you're just shoving your religion down my throat. No, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about God. Religion's made up by humans. It's a human cultural construct,
sure,
that people need, that fills a hole.
Christianity technically is not a religion.
No, it's a relationship with God through
Jesus
Christ. It's
a belief system, but it's not necessarily, because there are faiths that basically separate Christianity. We've talked about Catholics, Mormons, Evangelicals, Baptists, so forth and so on.
And that's the religious aspect
Correct.
Of Christianity. There is a Christian religion, but it's made up by humans. But there is only one God.
Right.
And that's the God that rules the universe, that created the universe and still rules it. That's the God I invoke as a city councilman.
Right. Okay. And so, in other words, and I really bring this in, and I'm going to tell you this, I think it's very important that any politician nowadays, when they're being asked on issues that that are covering marriage, that are covering children, that are covering things, whether they be the sexual orientation, those types of things, those issues are religious issues. And the Constitution forbids candidates seeking public service from being tested on how they stand on religious issues. In other words, the seculars have been able to pull the wool over our eyes and getting candidates to discuss religious issues so that they can vet them and get them out so that the secularists can get in, because they're using that as a leverage piece. And I don't believe that the framers really understood why that was inserted it into the Constitution, because almost every single, you may not know this, but during the ratification debates, almost every single state had a problem with that. They absolutely wanted to have a religious test. And the reason that Madison kept on saying no, because which religion are we going to basically start endorsing? Because it almost, it leads down this path of establishment. And so they said, you know what, we have to start putting aside, because as John Jay said, we're all Christians. We were all from the same place. We all migrated here. We're basically one set of people with a few different variations in religion and our faiths. But what I'm really trying to say here is that we and you as a candidate and we as journalists and or people talking about these issues have basically turned our backs on that one little section in Article 6 of the Constitution, Section 3, where we're not supposed to be asking you and having you talk about these things. And so my advice is, if you actually get talked to by a spokesperson or a journalist and they know you're of the cloth and they say, well, how do you feel about this? I go, I believe you're violating the Constitution, madam or sir, in asking that question, because that's a religious matter. And in the scope of what I'm doing here, my purview is on these things, not on, you know, religious matters.
That's true. And for me personally, you're pushing against my biggest weakness. I can't keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, so I know that I have that same weakness too. And I think only I love to hear myself as much as I do. Anyway, okay, so who's you're saying the secular progressives are pushing back?
Well, and there's another way they push back too.
Okay.
One is by confusing, I just mentioned that, confusing God with religion with church.
Right.
They're totally separate things.
Right.
The other is the level of government. They say that when it comes to parental rights, for example,
right,
they say that this is not the business of the city government.
Right.
And my pushback to them is, and I'm going to quote from my second favorite book, the Bible being my first favorite, my second being the Constitution,
right,
and the third being a movie, Forrest Gump. But
okay,
that's another story. Okay, so Article 1, Section 1, Declaration of Rights of the Washington State Constitution,
you got 1 minute,
says, governments are established to protect and maintain individual rights. We are a government. The city government is the government because that's where people live. It's our job to protect parents' rights.
Absolutely.
And property owners'
absolutely
rights.
But it's not your job to spend money, to create businesses and those types of things. It's your job to help promote an environment that allows businesses to flourish and so forth.
That's right. And the only way to do that is by protecting rights.
Right. Well, we're really close to running out of time. I want to thank you for coming in.
And you're welcome.
I'm trying to work with your opponent to get him in for equal time because he's expressed he wants to come in. And I gave him the phone number if he wanted to dial in so that we could have some discussion with him as well. So hopefully I will be able to get a pre-recording of with your opponent, Ben Wick, who may be on the first. So folks, stay tuned, and we'll hopefully have his opponent on to give him equal time. If not, then that's not to my choice. But I want to thank you, and please listen next week. We will have another candidate in here, and God bless. Thank you much.